Amen. The gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. This is the calling of the first disciples. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So this is a fun Sunday that we're dressed like this. It makes me think, why don't we dress like this every single day? But without a tie, you know, it feels good without a tie, I think, and without the suit on. But it is appropriate this Sunday to talk about, what does it mean to go fishing for people? When Jesus tells Peter, "Don't be afraid, follow me and you will catch people," or "your fish for people." And so I know that most folks like humor, and that is actually a way to catch people, right, into the net of God's love, because that's really what the sermon's all about. And I don't know if you know, you ever hear of Joel Osteen? He's the pastor of a small church down in Houston. It's struggling. There's only a few people that go. Thousands. I think it's the largest, say, worship on a Sunday morning. He's preaching to thousands. He always starts off, it doesn't have to do anything with the sermon, but he always starts out with, "I'd like to start with a little something funny," is what he says. So I'm going to say a couple, and they're all to do about fishing. So they do segue into the message about fishing for people. So the first one is, what did the fisherman say to the card magician? "Take a cod, any cod." "What kind of music should you listen to while fishing?" "Anything, just something catchy." All right, what do you do when you cross a fishing lure? What do you get when you cross a fishing lure with a old gym sock? "A hook, line, and stinker." All right, this one I like. There's a monastery, an old monastery with these old monks, and they're going through financial trouble, so they start a fish and chips restaurant business to raise some money. And so one night, late at night, a customer comes and knocks on the door, and opens up the door, and a monk answers, and the customer smiles and says, "Are you the fish fryer?" And "No," he replies, "I'm the chipmunk." So bad, it's good. And then the next one is, I like this one. So someone's on Mill Pond, and you know it's the season of ice fishing. Believe it or not, there are people that do like ice fishing. And so there's one guy, and he cut his hole, and he's fishing. And he's not catching anything. And he looks over, not too far, a few yards down the way. He sees a guy just pulling out fish after fish onto the ice. And he's like, "What is the secret? What's the catch?" And he goes over, and he says, "Excuse me, can you tell me, what's the secret to you, you know, fishing so well and getting all these fish?" And the guy looks over and just goes, "Murr." And he's like, "What do you mean? If you don't want to tell me your secret, you don't have to. That's okay." And he says, "Murr. No, I'll go back. I'll keep trying. You don't have to tell me." And the guy goes, "Murr. You got to keep the worms warm. You've heard that one before, but it's all about fishing. So, like I said, I'm not someone who fishes. How many people enjoy fishing? Raise your hand. Whether you catch fish or not, some hands go down. David likes to fish, even if you don't catch any fish, and that's really ultimately the goal of people of faith, that you enjoy trying to catch people whether you catch them or not, right? So as Christians, we should enjoy fishing for people. That's the first thing. And we look at the scripture, and it's really a beautiful setting where Jesus goes in the boat, and he teaches the people from Peter's boat, and then says, let's go out a little bit. And it goes against Peter, who says, you know, Master, we've fished all night. And you know he's thinking on the inside, I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter. We're not going to catch anything. But, he doesn't really say that, but he's thinking that. He says, we've already done this, we're really tired, but because you say so, we'll do it. And he has zero faith that he's going to catch anything. And what happens? You know what happens. It's just a humongous catch of fish. So much so, it is literally miraculous for Peter. It changes him right on the spot. All the other boats come and they gather together and they have so much fish, it's sinking the boats. Not just one or two. It's just overloaded. And I think it's so beautiful that Peter, out of respect to his master, he says, Master, out of respect to the relationship he has with Jesus, he's obedient. And that's the second lesson. You got to love to fish. Then you have to do what Jesus says, which is go fish for people. I'm going to tell you to go fish. Even if you think nothing's going to come, I still want you to go fish. Because when you fish with me, you're going to catch something. You got to trust that something miraculous will happen. And many of us, we might share our faith or we were hesitant to talk to someone at work or in our family, like the old, you don't talk about politics and religion. And so we never really get around to trying to catch someone with the net of God's love because we're worried about it not working. No one wants to fail, even someone who's fishing, but you have to enjoy trying. And we're blessed that we have a church that there are people that are sharing with other people about our church and about our worship and about God. And inviting someone to church shouldn't be a great, like, yikes. You could just say, I like to go. Would you like to come with me? We actually have a couple that I met with this week that she was coming to church. Her name's Michelle. And she met somebody. His name is Chris. And she said, would you like to come to church with me? And he said, okay. And now they come every single Sunday, and now they're engaged to be married, and they're going to be married here on November 9th. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Michelle and Chris. So she said, well, he would only have to say no. And another couple that sit in the back, Peter and Ruth, they came to church because Ruth Holden, who runs Holden Farms, is a neighbor and says, I think you'd enjoy church. Come along. Pastor John tells some really bad jokes, and come along. They said yes. They have literally not missed a Sunday from that first time when they accepted the invitation. And they sit in the back. They texted me this week. They said, Pastor John, we just want to thank you, and we thank God that we found the church because you preached about miracles last week, and miracles are happening in our lives. Amen. They would not be here to hear the word of God, to have hope, to have strength and courage if Ruth didn't say, you know what, why don't you come along? One time when I was, this is literally 30 years ago, I was on Martha's Vineyard as a young pastor, and I was so tired. I was at Boston University School of Theology, a lot of bus rides and a lot of ferry rides. I got off the ferry, had to walk to my car, and I still had a half-hour drive to the parsonage up island. And I looked at my watch, and like, oh, prayer group at the jail. I volunteered as a prison chaplain, and I said, oh, I don't want to go. Literally, the car drove itself, and I'm in the parking lot. I'm like, well, I guess I'm here. I should go in. And I had all the doubts in the world, like Peter fishing, thinking, okay, Jesus, we'll go fishing. We'll humor you. That was the day that this one inmate gave his life to Christ. That was the day when he heard the word, he responded, And he literally transformed before me because he accepted the Lord's forgiveness and grace into his heart. And to this day, I'm sure he's not the same. And I almost missed it. I almost just said, well, that's not going to work. So I only share that with you today because there's somebody you know that's in your, I always like to say you're strategically planted right now. There are people that are just waiting to be loved, waiting to have someone listen to them, to look them in the eyes and respect them and care for them. And they're waiting to hear your story of faith. I think it's beautiful that Peter ran to Jesus after this great catch of fish and falls before Jesus. In fact, it's a strange thing. He rushes to Jesus and then falls before Jesus and then says, "Get away from me." Isn't that kind of funny? Because this miraculous catch of fish changed Peter, because the closer you get to the Lord, the more God catches you, the more you'll be challenged with how you live your life. You can't live like you used to live when you get close to the Lord, when you get caught by God's grace. And Peter, first thing he said was, "Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinner." Everything that he had done wrong, everything, all the mistakes, just like, I can't hide from this man. Look what the power that he has. And it's so beautiful that Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Now that I've caught you, I'm going to make you a fisher of people." And the way I look at it is that you never stop needing to be caught by God's grace. Amen? There's never a point when you say, "I have it and everybody else does it and I'm better than it." Peter had made was with Jesus for 3 years and made terrible mistakes probably the whole way. Nothing worse than disowning Jesus 3 times. And then being reinstated after the resurrection. And it's so beautiful that he was able to tell people, when he would witness to them and tell his story, because the key is, don't tell someone else's story of faith, tell your story. This is what God means to me. He would be able to say, "No one can out-sin me. I disowned Jesus 3 times, and the 3rd time, I was staring in his eyes when I did it. And I abandoned him." But Peter experienced God's saving grace, lifting from the weight of shame and guilt to become the rock of the church. It's powerful to be able to just share that. And Paul does the same when we read from Corinthians, his letter, 1 and 2 Corinthians. We have to know the context because Corinth was sort of like Las Vegas. There were 700,000 residents of Corinth, second only to Rome. And Corinth in those days was known as like Sin City. That's where everybody went. There were pagan temples all the way down the main thoroughfare, and there was one at the end of it that was the Temple of Venus, goddess of love, where they had 1,000 prostitutes 24 hours a day that would take on all visitors. And so there was temptation all around, and they were, you know, it was on the front of a church sign once, you know, it says, "Fish never see the hook, only the bait," right? So we have to admit that we want to get caught by something, right? We get hooked by things that are not good for us all the time. And for our whole entire faith lives, we have to keep getting caught by the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Christ. And so Peter and then Paul preaches his story. And he says, the Lord appeared resurrected to 500 people. 500 people saw him risen, alive, after the crucifixion. And then he lists others then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And then Paul says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And if you know Paul's conversion story, he's blinded by the light while he's going to persecute Christians, and he's literally knocked down. He wasn't on a horse, but he was knocked down off his high horse and blinded by the light, and experienced this awesome grace that he preached to the people in Corinth, in a small little church, grew up in the midst of such such sin in a city. In fact, the Greek verb to, do you remember Corinthian leather? Or is it, was it Roberto Montalban or Ricardo? Ricardo Montalban. I forgot the name of that car, but I remember it had Corinthian leather. But the Greek verb to Corinthianize meant to live shamelessly and immorally. That's how bad the city's reputation was. But Paul preached the gospel. Paul preached grace and new life through Jesus. And people listened. And they were caught, and the church grew. Same thing happened to me. Some of you know my story when I was at Springfield College, when I was a freshman. A guy named Ron Lavoie, who was not a student at the school, but a refrigeration mechanic, would go door to door. And I literally could hear him knocking on the door, coming down the hall, and doors slamming, and people saying, "What? Get out of here." And he knocked on my door, and he invited me to be part of a prayer group and a Bible study. And if Ron Lavoie gave up fishing for people before he got to me, literally I would not be standing before you right now preaching the Word of God. And I only tell you that today because you might not think you have the ability to fish for people, but you do. God has given you a story of faith, and you don't have to have it perfect. Like I said, you're getting caught by God's grace. As you're learning how to fish, as you're called to fish for people. When we go to Africa, you know how many miles actually it will be that we'll travel? A straight line from Boston to Bukavu, DRC, is about 7,000 miles. That's a straight shot. If you go to Amsterdam, that's how we'll fly. You go to Amsterdam first, and then down totally the whole continent of Africa. In fact, Mark Neal likes to say they give you ice cream while you're flying over the Sahara Desert, and you look down and you're eating ice cream. But when you count that mileage as well, by the time we get to Rwanda and then cross over the border and drive up to the village of Miti, it'll be over 9,000 miles. And every time Pastor Wimbimba, who speaks no English, he only speaks Swahili, and I will preach. I remember 3 years ago I preached. We had snow up to here, and the translator goes, "We don't have a word for snow." So he translated it to heavy rain. It was what he said. But the beauty of it was that Pastor Mbiba always says, these people, and he points out, these people flew over the clouds all the way from America to come here to tell us that God loves us, that God is with us, that we're not alone. And it's powerful because you see these little children that are orphans, that are forgotten, that we look at and we say, you're a child of God. You're valuable. Christ died for you. God's given you life. We're here in the name of Jesus to tell you this and also bring these supplies, medical supplies and school supplies. And we don't just say God loves you. We actually serve. And it happens whether you go down to Appalachia, to Kentucky or Tennessee with our youth mission. Every time we go, someone in that area who's never left it, Massachusetts might as well be on the other side of the world, and they'll say to us, I can't believe you would come down all the way down to here to tell us that God loves us. And you can just sense that you're catching those people because you're willing to go outside of your comfort zone. Like Peter, oh, all right, I'll do it. I don't really believe anything's going to come from it, but because you say so. And it's the same way with catching people. I guarantee if you go out in faith and you fish with someone that you love and you actually share from your heart your story, only good can come from that. Even if they say talk to the hand, you have to know that you're planting a seed because you're loving them. You're not hitting them over the head with the Bible. A lot of people think evangelism is rude. It's like getting into someone's face and saying we're better than them. Then no. We fail as much as anybody else, but we're coming back to be caught by God's love. Every single Sunday you hear the same words, but you're not alone. God's with you. This week was a hard week. I had 4 funerals in 7 days. Charles, Kenneth, Joe, and Dennis. And last night, I got a call from someone in town
His name's JT. He's Indian. It's a long name. And he goes, but call me JT. Okay. That's easier than this long name I can't pronounce. And I've been in touch with him because Mr. Pickering down at Westboro Funeral Home says there's a young family in town. And they have a 5.5-year-old girl that's in hospice care. She's going to die. It's been about 6 months, but she's close to die. And I sat in the office with JT. And he has no Christian background. But he's so open to hearing of eternal life. And that his daughter, Mira, has a soul and is loved by God. And she's precious and priceless. And I'm honored to cry with you, JT. To look you in the eyes and tell you that you're not alone. And that, yes, you can have her service of celebration right here. Whether you're a Christian or not. And when I said that, he says, I'm open. That's what he said. I want to hear more. And so this whole week when I'm meeting with people and just reminding them, you're not alone. You're loved and you're not alone. I hope you know you can tell people that too. And you can go with them through the valley. You can remind them like Peter and Paul that, you know, we fail. We have regrets. We look back at our lives and we can do better. But when we come to the wellspring of God's grace, we partake of it. There's nothing better. You know, we all want to be part of something meaningful and wonderful. You think, why do we go crazy for the Patriots, you know? I'm just thinking, I'm all in. I care so much that they won that game. And I like the sign that said, on to number 7. And we have Pittsburgh Steelers fans. In fact, Rich and Jen Murphy, she's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's a huge Patriots fan. They had a T-shirt that said something around mixed couples can meet together because both have 6 rings. Or so. I don't know what it said, but they were wearing them at the 9 o'clock service. But but I was just thinking about how beautiful it is that these men, right? I mean, I think God gave us sports so that men can hug and kiss and say, I love you, right? I mean, literally, you right after the Patriots win, they're coming in with the cameras right on Julian Edelman and Tom Brady. And they're literally as close as you can be, hugging, kissing. I love you, bro. I love you, too. I love you, bro. And everybody in Boston at the parade, except for those guys that I guess were fighting. I didn't see the clip. But just praising in a sense. Like we're built to be caught by some. We want to be part of something that's a grand and wonderful, spectacular, meaningful. And the greatest thing is to be part of God. To know you're alive for a reason, that you have a purpose. I know that Ashley, when we go to that school, Ashley's going to have people, because they don't see people with blonde hair that much. And they'll say Mzungu, which means white person. And they'll just like, there'll be like 200 kids all over Ashley, some of them pulling at her hair a little bit, and she's going to love it because she's going to be able to share the word of God and that they're special and beautiful in God's eyes. And how beautiful it is that when you catch people, you're being caught at the same time. Amen? Amen? So I want us to move now to our prayer time and pray about be someone else's sunshine. Be the reason someone smiles today, you know. Evangelism is a heavy word, but really it's just like love somebody. Do something for someone else. Be other-centered, not self-centered. You know, when you do that, all of a sudden all your own problems just kind of just like fall away. And you realize God can use you to do a great thing in this world. Amen, TJ? Amen, brother? So we're going to move to our prayer time. Amen? Are there prayers that people would like to lift up? And you are invited, if you'd like to come to this Brazilian barbecue, you can just come with us, jump in a car and go. Prayers to lift up, please. Yeah, Natalie? Amen. What's her name?
Alexis.
Alexis. Pretty. Alexis getting married. Amen. All the prayers this morning to lift up, Jean? Dots Wicker, who's our oldest member at 101. She'll be 102 in May. And she's an inspiration. Amen. Thank you for loving her. Other prayers this morning to lift up? Elizabeth?
Prayers for Chuck, who broke his back.
Chuck, we want to lift up. Who's recovering? Update on my brother, too, is that he walked yesterday. His hip is good. Amen, amen. I forgot to say that at the early service. But my other brother sent me a little text video, and there he is. He's walking with like a strange-looking cane. And hopefully within a week, while we're in Africa, I'll get a text that he's home with my mother and recovering. So he's literally a miracle. Amen. Other prayers that we want to lift up? TJ. Did you break your finger or cut it?
Work injury.
Table saw cut. Hold up your finger, TJ. You're pointing to God with that finger. Amen. We'll pray for you, TJ. Amen. And we want to pray for anyone battling addictions. We all really have our own addictions. But Joe Levitre was 28 years old when he died. I was in contact with him. I prayed with him. And the heroin opioid crisis is so evil, terrible. And he did not want to die. But I do celebrate that he did have faith. He did feel loved. He did have hope. And we pray for his mother, Marla, who was at church, and his grandmother, June. And we want to just say welcome to the family in the back pew who said goodbye to someone they love so much, that we honor that you're here today as you remember a wonderful man. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Praise God. And don't think you can't reach someone as you're going through your own stuff. Peter did that. And God can bless your desire to reach out. Is someone you know that you can reach, that you can invite? All they can do is say no, right? Or if you say, come along. But let's catch people with God's love. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us today, this day to live. Life is too short. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know it's in your hands. And so, Lord, we thank you that after you called Peter and the early disciples, James and John, you went immediately to touch the leper and to heal him and to welcome the outcasts into your family. And Lord, we pray for the United Methodist Church that's meeting in February, the end of February, in their general conference, to pray about how we can be more welcoming and open to everyone. Thank you, God, that grace is the answer to the problems in our lives. Lord, we get hooked by so many things. We want to be caught by you today. Thank you for hearing our cries, and that you give us a reason. As Peter rose and you comforted him, you called him to follow. And Lord, we seek to follow you in our difficult lives. Thank you that you've given us life, life abundantly and life eternally. And so, Lord, help us to help others see you in us, and that they can see that you are real and that you love them, and that there is joy for those who give their lives to you. And so all this, Lord, we lift to you with great thanksgiving, lifting up the prayers spoken and unspoken. We pray for Alexis and her wedding and the joy of coming together, holy matrimony, for Dot Zwicker, who smiles and laughs more than anyone else I know. Thank you, God, for our church and churches around the globe, for the African mission, for moving us outside of our comfort zones to care for others, even while we're hurting. Thank you that we can share what you've given to us and make a difference in your name. Help us not to be pessimistic or cynical, but be filled with the spirit of love and hope and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Move us to be alive in you. All this, Lord, we lift to you as we pray your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom
and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.